Now, he put down here in verse 3 a great principle by which God didn't not only judge Assyria and Nineveh, the capital in particular, but this is the way that God judges the world and will judge the world in the future. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now, the Lord is slow to anger. That is something Nahum makes very clear. You see, God sent Jonah into Nineveh to tell them that Nineveh was to be destroyed because of its awful sin. They were known as probably the most brutal people in the ancient world. And God said that judgment would come. But these people, the entire city of Nineveh, repented and turned to God. And obviously, it penetrated the entire empire. And there was a great change. We would say a great revival broke out. Now, that didn't last very long, and it's been characteristic of the great waves of revivals that have come. They've never lasted permanently. There's never been a permanent revival yet. The Wesley revival, it had tremendous impact upon England and this country and the side effects upon other nations, but it was for a brief duration. There's been a carryover, of course, of it even down to the present hour and the great Moody revivals, when actually an entire city would be moved in that day toward God. Well, this is the thing that God has done in the past. He seems to continue to do it, but he's slow to anger. So this great city turned back, and 100 years later, after Jonah, Nahum comes and says, well, now the clock is struck. It's 12. And time has run out. There is no longer delay. Judgment is coming. And why? Well, he says here, and God will not at all acquit the wicked. You see, the forgiveness of God is different than our forgiveness. And I must repeat this. When somebody does us wrong, we say, I forgive you. And that's it. Penalty has not been paid or anything. It's generally for something that may be just a trifle, or it could be a matter of some importance. But when God forgives, the penalty has already been paid. Because you see, God is the judge of this earth. He is not only its creator, he not only is running it, but he's the moral ruler of this universe. And you see, God is not a crooked judge. You can't slip something under the table to him and get him to let you off easy. And you can't tell him that you belong to a certain family and that your father is very influential and he'll be able to get you off. Or you cannot say that you are very wealthy and that you will get the judge's job, or you can pay him just a little extra to be lenient on you. You can't deal with God like that. God must judge the wicked. And all of us are told that the heart is desperately wicked. Not just a little wicked, but desperately wicked. And you and I don't know, really, the depth of the iniquity that's in our hearts, what we're capable of. Now, God can't acquit us. Therefore, if we are going to be acquitted, someone must pay the penalty. And that's the reason that he's provided a redeemer. Now, when an individual or a nation turns its back upon God's redemption that's provided now in Christ, then judgment must follow. There's no other alternative. Because now he closes out by saying that God controls the storms. Mother Nature doesn't have really much to do with it. Mother Nature does what he tells Mother Nature to do.